Psalm 40 and verse number 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Come over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And verse number 28, Luke 14, verse number 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. One final reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. Verse number 14, Matthew 26, verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And that's all I'm going to read tonight, and I know it's maybe a little bit of a diverse reading, kind of maybe all over the place, but what I want to think about here tonight is counting. Of course, we're all very familiar with counting. We know what it's like to go look at our bank statement, and we start adding up the math, or we look at our Visa bill, and we wonder how it got so high so quickly, and we start to do the counting. Maybe it's the kids, and it comes to the last day of school. They told me last week, just 5 more weeks of school. And of course, Monday's a holiday, and they've done the math. 24 more days of school. They're doing the counting. But I wonder, as we look at this audience tonight, if there's any other counting that comes to mind for you. When we come to Psalm 40, what we're going to find there is a man, and he's counting his sins. When we come to Luke chapter 14, there's a man, and he's counting his savings. Following that man is a man, and he's counting his soldiers. And then in Matthew chapter 26, there's a man, and he's counting his silver. When it comes to the man that's counting his sins, this man comes up with a conclusion, and the conclusion that he comes to as he looks at his sins is, I have a tremendous problem. I wonder if there's anyone here in the gospel meeting tonight, and as you consider your sins, you've come to the conclusion that you have a tremendous problem. You see, this man David, as he begins to write and as he defines his sin, he looks into the general mass population. And as he looks at the mass population, the conclusion that he comes to is that I'm living in a society where sins are just innumerable. There's no number that I can put on all the sins. Everywhere I look, all around me, it's just sinner, 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 sinner. And here you are in the gospel meeting tonight. And I'm sure you look around, you look to the person beside you, and you say of that person, they're a sinner. They're a sinner. But you know what this man David came to realize? I'm a sinner. Is there anyone here like that? I'm a sinner? Maybe there's someone over here in the back row, and you've come to realize I'm a sinner. Here's King David, and as he begins to look at everything, he says, the biggest problem that I have is not a problem that's out there. He said, the biggest problem I have is a problem that's right in here. I'd like to remind you, young boy, the problem that you have is the problem of your sin. The Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 8, twice over, he says this, ye shall die in your sins. So often we get concerned with the sins of the world and the sins of society, but David realizes the problem is the sins are mine. But the next thing that David realizes is this, the sins are many. He starts to count them. He adds them up. He sums them to a total. And the conclusion he comes to is this, they're more than the hairs of my head. I did a little bit of research. The average human head has anywhere from 100,000 to 150,000 hairs. I'm in about the 60,000 range now. It's getting pretty thin. But David is counting, and he says, as I consider my sins, he says, my sins are more than the hairs of my head. And as he considers the quantity of sins that he has, he gets to a point of despair. Is there anyone here tonight, and you start to think about your sin, and you realize it's not just one sin, and it's not just two sins, but I have more sins than the hairs of my head. My sins are just multiplying before me. And every day I live, every week I spend, my sins are getting greater and greater and greater. But David's not just concerned with the fact that they're my sins. He's not just concerned with the fact that the sins are many. But he says the problem is this, my sins are actually starting to manipulate me. They're actually starting to do things to me that I don't want to do. There's things that are happening that I don't want to happen. And he says, this is how I define it. He says, I just want to go up. I want to look into heaven, but I'm not able to because of my sin. Can I remind all of us here tonight, whether you're familiar with the gospel or not, because of your sins, you'll never look into heaven. And here's David, he says, I can't so much as lift up my eyes to heaven. Why? Because of my sin. My sin. Is there anyone here tonight and your sins are gripping you? You've come to the conclusion, the great problem that I have is my sin. And then David says this, because of my sins, my heart, it faileth me. I'm just miserable in my sins. Are you happy? You'll never be happy in your sins. And David, as he realizes his sins, as he counts them all up, he realizes my heart's failing me. And he just cries out to the God of heaven. He says, God, deliver me. I need to be delivered from my sin. He's counting his sins. When we come over to Luke chapter 14, though, it's a man, and he's counting his savings. It's interesting that the person that the Lord Jesus identifies is a person in the audience. And he actually says, which of you intending to build a tower? Doesn't sit down first and count the cost. He said, it's one of you. I wonder if any of you here tonight are counting the cost. He's a man and he's counting his savings. You see, what this man has done is this. He's drawn up a concept. You know what concepts are like. I was at my brother-in-law's house a couple of years ago, and he showed me this concept on Facebook. It was the concept of the new Hyundai Tucson. And it had these great big wheel flares. And it had these oversized tires. And it had a real swoopy front end on it. It was just a concept. And then I saw the real thing. And the real thing's rather disappointing. You see, when it comes to a concept, you can draw on paper whatever you want. But it might not ever come to life. The reality might not be what's in your mind. That's what happened to this man. This man, he's drawn up a concept. And this is what he says to himself. I'm going to take what I have today in order to go up tomorrow. I'm going to take my money and I'm going to build a tower. And he sits down and he starts to draw it out. I wonder if there's anyone here and you have intentions like this man had. He had intentions of getting up, of going to heaven, of getting above the earth, intentions of how he can raise himself up. And what does he do? He sits down and starts to count everything that he has. Can I just ask all of us here tonight, what are you counting on to take you up? Here's a man, he sits down and he begins to count. He has the concept in his mind. He knows how he's going to do it. He says, I'm going to pull all my funds together. I'm going to build a foundation. On the foundation, I'll build a tower. And through that tower, I'm going to go up. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've gathered your things together. You've gathered all your good works. You've gathered all your religion. You've gathered all your church going. You've gathered all everything you've done for society. And you say, because of these things, what I'm planning on doing, I have a concept in my mind. I'm going to go to heaven through these things. This man, he drew up a concept. Can I do just for a minute for you tonight? Draw a comparison. You come to Genesis chapter 11, and this is what you're going to find. There's a bunch of men, and they make up their mind, we're going to get to heaven. And they come to the same concept as this man. And the way they say we're going to do it, we're going to build a tower out of dirt, just slime and clay. And they begin to build. And they go up. and they go up, and they go up. One night, as the tower sits there, the men are all in bed. God comes down, and God just takes a look. I wonder if he chuckled. Because here's a bunch of men counting on what they can build with their filth, saying, we're going to get up to heaven. Do you know what the Bible says about all your good works? The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But yet we somehow think we can take these things and we can pile them together, and these filthy deeds that we do are just going to be just what's needed to compile some kind of a tower, something significant that's going to take us to heaven. But the problem that happened in Genesis chapter 11 is the same thing that's going to happen to you at the end of the road. Is that as you come, there's one person's approval that it needs to pass. In Genesis chapter 11, God comes down. He walks around the tower. He just takes a look at it. And he says, I don't approve. Men don't get to heaven by the works of their hands. Men only get to heaven through the work of my Son. Is there anyone here tonight? I hope not. And as you have looked into the future, you thought you could compile things. Well, I'd like to make it very clear tonight, the conclusion that this man draws. This is a conclusion that he draws. He says, despite my ambition, despite my intention of taking what I have today to take me up tomorrow, he said, I've sat down and I've done the math. And the problem I have is this: I can't get past the foundation. Do you know what you guys are struggling tonight with if you're not saved? You've never gotten to the foundation. You go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and we read of a foundation. It's a foundation that's going to be laid. It's a stone. It's a tested stone. It's a precious stone. It's a sure foundation. And anyone that builds on that foundation, Isaiah says, he'll never be shaken. He'll be absolutely safe. Who's the foundation? The foundation is Christ. You might have come throughout your life, even up until the point of this meeting, counting all the things that you have saved to take you up into the future. But I want to remind all of us here tonight the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A man, and he's counting his savings. But the next man, I want you to notice this. It's not a man that's counting his savings. It's not a man that's counting his sins. It's a man, and he's counting his soldiers. Here he is, a man. He's a wealthy man. He's a king. And as he is a king, looks around his nation, he makes this realization: I need to build for myself an army. He gathers 10,000 men. And there he is, surrounded by 10,000 men, 10,000 soldiers. Imagine if you went out into the general population of Charlottetown and you surround yourself with 10,000 soldiers. Would you feel pretty safe? I think you would. But here's a man, and he just keeps gathering soldiers. And then he makes a unique admission. You know what the admission is that he makes? Despite having all of these soldiers, despite having this safety net around me, despite everything I've acquired, despite all these men, he says, I don't have peace. Do you have peace? Really, do you have peace? Here's a man, and he doesn't have peace. Do you know why? Because he knows there's something in the future that's coming for him. Remember the first man, he's counting his sins. He says, I need God to deliver me. The second man, he's counting his savings. And he realizes this: I have nothing to take me up to heaven. The third man, he's counting his soldiers. And as he counts all his soldiers, he says, I don't have peace because of what's in front of me. Can I just remind you here, men and women and boys and girls, as you look into the future, as you sit in your current seat, in your sins, nothing to take you to heaven in the future, I hope there's a little bit of fear that comes into your soul. I hope there's a little bit of unease. I hope there's no peace. Here's a man, and he has no peace, and what does he do? He looks and he realizes there's 20,000 men coming.
The armies that are coming for me are greater than what I have. He says, I need to call an advisor. Let me get on the horn with someone. Let me call in my advisor. And he brings in the advisor. And the advisor starts to do the math. They conclude together, you're outnumbered 2-1. You don't stand a chance. You're dead meat. You in your sins tonight? You know what the Bible describes you as? Dead in trespasses and in sin. He's dead. There's not a chance that this man's going to survive. And the advisor comes to him and he just says, listen, you don't stand a chance, okay? I got to be clear about that. You don't stand a chance. No matter how cute you are, how nicely dressed up, I just want to say, clear as can be tonight, you're on the road to hell and you're going to lose your soul. It's all going to be over. You don't stand a chance. God's wrath is coming. The punishment for sin, it's right in front of you. You have nothing to take you up in the future. Your sins are more than the hairs of your head. There's judgment coming. The wrath of God abideth on him. And you sit there, and you whisper, and you look around. Let me remind you tonight, judgment is coming, and you have no peace. He calls out to the advisor, and the advisor tells him this, listen, you need to send a message. Because you don't stand a chance, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your life. He says, you need to send a message, and you need to send it quick. He says, they're on the way to you. Judgment is coming. The armies are coming. You're outnumbered. You need to send a message. Have you ever sent the message? Peter sent the message. Peter cried out to God and he said, Lord, save me. He sent the message. And as he's sinking, the Lord saved him. What did he do though? He sent the message. Remember the Philippian jailer? He comes in with a message. What must I do to be saved? He sends the message and God comes in and saves them. Have you ever sent the message? And the advisor comes in and he says, what you need to do? You need to send a message, but you need an ambassador. You need someone to go ahead. You need someone to step in between you and the army that's coming. There needs to be someone that'll step in for you. Is there anyone that you know that could step in for you? Here you are in your sins. You're going to lose your soul because there's an army that's coming. It's a judgment of God's wrath for your sin, and it's making its way towards you. The advisor says, get an ambassador. And what the ambassador needs to do is this. He said he needs to make conditions of peace. He needs to negotiate on your behalf. Who's it going to be? Can I tell you, when it comes to the gospel, there was more than an ambassador that came. There was a mediator that came. Between you and your sin that are innumerable and the holy, righteous God of heaven, two beings that were going to clash, between those two stepped a man, and his name was Christ Jesus. He didn't just come with a letter to God and say, hey, God, listen, I want to make peace for these people. Just take this letter and walk away. He couldn't do that because he knew he was dealing with a righteous God. But he comes to his Father, to the God of heaven, and he says, I want to step in the middle. I want to come between these sinners and your righteousness. And I want to take everything that they deserved. And do you know what we preach tonight as ambassadors? As messengers, this is what we preach. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind you all tonight, peace is available, but only through the Lord Jesus. A man, and he's counting his sins. A man, he's counting his savings. A man, he's counting his soldiers. And finally, a man, and he's counting his silver. He's just taken 30 pieces of silver into his hand. He sold somebody. Who did he sell? Do you remember the man with the soldiers? What did he want? He wanted peace, but he didn't have it.
Judas held 30 pieces of silver in his hand because he just sold the Prince of Peace. Do you remember the man that's counting his savings? He's trying to make a plan for the future. He's trying to have a better life on the other side in the future. Who did Judas just sell? 30 pieces of silver. He sold the author of eternal life. The one that made the plan for men and women to have eternal life. And Judas holds in his hand 30 pieces of silver. And for the man that's counting his sins, who did Judas sell? He sold the man of sorrows. And this man, as he looked at all his sins and looked at the wickedness of his own heart, he cries out to God for deliverance. He cries for God to come in and save him from his sins. And Judas just sold the man that he needed. He just sold the man of sorrows. I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And then he goes on to say, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You can have the problem of your sin removed tonight. You can have a plan to go up in the future tonight. You can have peace with God tonight. But it's all going to be through the man that was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And there Judas is, and he counts out the 30 pieces of silver. He just traded his soul for 30 pieces of silver. But man, am I ever thankful he did. I'm so thankful that it was all in the grand plan of God to send his son into the world, to allow his son to go to the cross of Calvary. Because at Calvary's cross, there was another counting that took place. As the righteous God of heaven, I don't even know how to word it, but as he calculated what you and I deserve for our sin, in the darkness of Calvary, he took our sin and he placed it upon his son. All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we go free. Peter says, who? His own self. He bare our sins. All the sins that couldn't be numbered. All the sins that couldn't be calculated. All the sins that doomed us in the future. All the sins that took away our peace. He says he took them all. And he bore them in his own body on the tree. You say, well, Joe, how can I come into the good of this? How can I come into the good of knowing my sins forgiven? How can I come into the good of knowing in the future I'm going to go up to heaven? How can I have peace with God right here in the meeting tonight? I'll tell you how. Or do you know how? Maybe you already know how. Maybe you've already done the math. Maybe you've already, if you were in Sunday school, you put your hand up and you say, Mr. Preacher Man, I know the answer to this question. And you say, the answer is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I say, you're absolutely right. But have you counted? The hymn writer penned these words. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, tonight, start counting. David, he counted his sins. In Luke chapter 14, there's two men, and both of them stopped. Both of them sat down, and they did the counting. As a result of what they counted, they came to this conclusion: I need to make a change right now. I want to remind all of us here tonight, right now is the time to make the change. Right now is the time to trust the Savior. He's already finished the work. He's already paid the price. And when he finished paying the price, he said, it is finished. It's just paid in full. The work's all done. You don't have to do anything. Just accept the work that's already done. Come to know your sins forgiven because Christ has died for your sins.